morning. I'm Pastor David. We're going to continue looking at common mistakes made in Bible study, how we interpret the Bible, how we apply the Bible. The purpose of this program is to grow your confidence that the Bible is true and the ultimate resource for life. And so I hope as I go through these common mistakes, it will help you get more out of your Bible, apply it to your life, live by it. It will guide you to having a prosperous life, which is what God promises in Joshua 1:8. I do want to take a moment to invite you and encourage you to go to church this Sunday. You know, hearing a sermon, if it is based on the Bible, if it is preaching the Bible, that's part of Bible study. It's about meditating on the Word of God, growing in your understanding, considering how God's Word applies to your life today. And a good sermon does that. It does the work of studying, interpreting the Bible, and then applying it to life today. And so that's part of how we meditate on God's Word. You need to hear good preaching regularly. I encourage you to go to church this Sunday. If you don't have a church to go to, we always welcome you at Fairfax First Baptist Church for our 11 o'clock service. And also, I preach at Beach Branch Baptist Church in Luray for the 9 o'clock service. And all guests of our church will receive a free copy of my book, Prosperous and Successful, Pursuing God's Plan for Your Life. I hope that can be a blessing to you, and we'd love to have you. If you have any questions about the church, about the program, about free counseling that we offer here at the church as part of New Life Christian Counseling, a ministry we provide here to help you connect the great resources of Scripture to any of the problems and challenges you face in life, the phone number to call is 803-943-8237. That's 943-8237. Well, I'm going to continue with some other types of common mistakes today. One is having a literal versus a figurative interpretation. And sometimes people will say, I take the Bible literally. And others will say, you should never take the Bible literally. That's a very confusing word. It means so many different things to different people. Usually when people say, I take the Bible literally, they don't mean that they actually take every word literally and never notice poetry, symbolism, figurative language. For example, Matthew 10:16, Jesus says, I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Well, no one reads that verse and takes it literally that we are to, slither around on the ground like snakes and flap our arms around like we're doves. That would be absurd, and that's obviously not what Jesus means to do in this verse. So I don't take the Bible literally that way, but most people, again, when they say that, mean what Jesus meant by this verse, I believe it, I try to follow it. And I do think that we need to do that. But obviously, the Bible uses different kinds of language. It uses metaphor. It uses figurative language. It uses hyperbole, which is exaggeration. And we need to be careful students of the Bible to get that. So when Jesus says, I am sending you out like sheep among wolves, all right, he wants us to think about sheep and wolves. You don't want sheep among wolves. The wolves are going to kill the sheep. So Jesus says, I'm sending you out into the middle of danger, is what he's saying. And he says, therefore, in other words, it's not that you're doomed, but here's what you need to do as you go out. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. You need to have wisdom. You need to have caution. You need to take seriously the danger and prevent it, but you also don't need to be like the rest of the world and be vindictive and quick to violence and so forth. So it's a very delicate balance, and you need to seek to have that as you go out as my representatives in the world. That's what Jesus is saying here. So the words like sheep and therefore be as shrewd as snakes, innocent as doves, these tell you he's talking about metaphor. Those words tell you that this is a figure of speech. It's not meant to be taken literally. If Jesus said, be snakes and be doves, it might be a little more difficult. But he says, be like sheep, be as like snakes, as doves. So clearly this is figurative language. Here's another example. This one is a little more controversial. Jesus says in Matthew 5:30, if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. All right, well, there's a logic to this. I'd rather have one hand and be in heaven than two hands and be in hell. So does Jesus mean that I literally, if my hand is causing me to sin, should I cut it off and throw it away? Because there's good logic to this. I don't think so. And here's why I don't think so. I think all throughout this sermon, and this is in Matthew 5, so it's the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus constantly uses these powerful and really kind of humorous pictures. For instance, it's in Matthew 7, the same sermon. Jesus says, don't pick the speck out of your brother's eye when there's a plank in your own eye. Well, no one can actually have a plank stuck in their eye, but Jesus wants this funny picture to pop into our head of this guy with a board sticking out of his face, trying to get this little speck, you know, out of his brother's eye, and he can't even see. He's going to actually knock his brother over with this plank sticking out of his eye if he gets close enough to try to get the speck out of his brother's eye. It's absurd. It's meant to be funny. And there's something like that going on here, too, I think, because really all of us are completely corrupt by sin. If I sin with my hand, it's not really my hand that's making me sin. Right? Cutting off my hand isn't going to make me sin less. But Jesus is wanting us to, here it isn't really a humorous picture, it's more kind of a gruesome picture that's meant to really make us grasp the seriousness of sin and the determination we need to have to root it out of our lives. And so he says, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. I think there's relevance here to addiction. And really, all of us have some kinds of addiction at various levels to things that are maybe very harmful or things that are only somewhat harmful. But we have addiction. And one of the ways, and I think Jesus gives us 7 different strategies in dealing with addiction, by the way, but this is one of them. One of the ways is you cut out anything in your life that leads you to fall back in that habit. So if we're talking about a drug, it's not about just stopping the drug. It's about stopping, cutting off any access you have to that drug that might tempt you to return to that drug. It's about maybe changing location, changing friends, changing places you visit. You know, you're not going to go into a bar if you're an alcoholic trying to overcome alcoholism. You know, that would just be crazy. So it's not just resolving not to drink, but how can I identify those in-between things that get me going in the wrong path towards drinking or doing drugs or whatever the addiction may be? You've got to stop. It's not that there's anything wrong with those things, but if those things lead you to do something that's wrong, then you need to cut them out of your life. You need to have a very radical approach to dealing with those things. So that's just an example, though, I think, of Jesus using figurative language, and we need to recognize that. All right, well, I want to get into another big topic of how the Bible, common mistakes in Bible study and interpretation, and I've run out of time for this week, but I'm going to jump into it next week, and that is, did Jesus get rid of many of the laws in the Bible? And I've heard a number of teachers suggest this lately, and it's kind of bothering to me. For instance, Jesus said, here are the 2 greatest commandments. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. And people will say, well, see, Jesus meant there's only 2 commandments now. We can ignore the others. Well, no, Jesus said these are the 2 greatest commandments, which means he's not denying the existence of others. How can you have the 2 greatest if you don't have others? But we'll look more at that issue next week. Until then, remember, you can trust the Bible.